Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Just two verses. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" And so the Savior washes feet. What kind of religion is this? Is this any way for God to act? Is this where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords belongs, on his knees, washing the filthy, stinking feet? Aside from the fact that at the birth of Jesus, there were also some smells. You remember that. But back to the beginning. God is the one who designs, creates, and defines his creation, including when he created mankind. He designed, "Let us make man in our image." He created. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He defined our existence. "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over," and on it goes. When the Word of God speaks and says, "Let there be," it is so. And this is also so when the Son of God comes into our flesh to be one of us. And again he speaks and he says, "Blessed are the meek, the merciful, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake," and so on. He designs, he creates, he defines by his coming among us and coming into our flesh, by his walking among us, by his sharing in our poverty, lowliness, sorrow, and suffering, and by his being merciful and bringing peace and being pure, he defines. And when he defines our existence and says, "Blessed be, blessed are," then it is so. And the blessing he pronounces is something that is in himself. He is the new design. He is the new definition of the new creation of the new humanity. And Paul says it this way, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He is the new beginning. He is the new Adam. And again, Paul says, "Who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself." And part of the new that Jesus brings is the work of God that creates us in a completely different pattern than the pattern of our fallen nature. It includes the call from God calling us in a completely different direction from where our old Adam would like to be heading. And so the Son of God, in the flesh, the God-man Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who was born into our flesh and had spent about 30 years growing up among us and 3 years calling us back to God, was at supper. Who is greater? The one who sits at the table or the one who comes up to serve? A question posed by Jesus. And then the Son of God, this Son of Man, this new Adam, gets up and takes a towel and basin and kneels down and begins to wash feet one by one. He will serve. He will stoop down. He will bring the kingdom of heaven to us. And he will do it in a way that turns everything on its head. And actually, this is the difference. Back in the garden. Back in the garden, the devil, with the inflated ego of his own glory, says, come on, be like God. And the Son of God says, the seed of the woman. And he begins the stooping down to raise us up. Already back then. He would do the stooping down. He would wash feet and then wash away sins. He would pray in our place and be the one that we can bring our prayers to him. See, not only is Jesus God, not only is he the one who suffered and died and rose from the dead, not only is he the one who is to rule all creation, by what he has done and by who he is deep inside, he is the one I want to rule because he is the only one I can trust to rule every part of my life, my entire future, and everything inside my soul. This is the kind of King of Kings that he is. Behold the man washing feet. This is the King who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the first part of the wonder, where God reverses the relationship of God and man and chooses to serve his disciples and his creation and humble himself for their exaltation. He is the King who became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the second part of the wonder is that Jesus chose to be arrested, chose to be judged, chose to be beaten, chose to be crucified by the sinners that he not only created, but by sinners that he is also the judge of. He is the king who defeated death by dying and crushed the devil by being wounded by him. He was betrayed, arrested, beaten, condemned, and crucified. And the devil saw that the Lamb of God had been turned over to judgment and death and fell on him to devour him, never realizing that this, in fact, was the plan of salvation. Such a strange plan. Such a difficult thing to grasp until God actually does it. Such a difficult thing to get into our hearts until the Word of God by the power of the Spirit penetrates. Jesus knew it would be difficult for the disciples to understand what he was doing. Most of the time, they still thought he was going to claim a throne and set up an earthly kingdom and do it right soon. And so he prepared them by doing something absolutely unheard of. And of course, Peter protested. And Pilate would say, "Are you a king?" So very strange it looked. Are you a king? My kingdom is not of this world. And he brings the kingdom to us by being the king who serves, the Lord who stoops down and kneels, the Holy One who takes the horrible filth and stain of sin. He carries it for me so that I may live and see his holiness and share his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.